This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Gentlemen, Ezra on the evening edition, keeping you company your drive home this Friday evening. Now, this next story, taking a look at terrorism. Now, police have nabbed 15 terrorist suspects who plotted various attacks, including driving into non-Muslim voters during the 14th general election and firebombing non-Muslim worship places. This was mentioned by the Inspector General of Police, Tan Sri Muhammad Fuzi Harun. And, of course, there have been interesting developments of some of these particular individuals involved.
Yeah, I mean, one of the 15 that was nabbed was only a secondary school student, man. I mean, 17 years old, apparently had plans to carry out attacks as a lone wolf using Molotov cocktails and entertainment outlets, churches, and even Hindu temples, right? Yeah. And you know, apparently he was arrested on April the 20th, had created six Molotov cocktails, tested one of the firebombs in an open area around Damansara Damai. He was apparently, you know, said to have scouted and recorded the locations of his firebombing targets. I mean, this is all the stories. It's in line with the kind of stories we've heard about Daesh groups and how they recruit, right?
Yeah, and so a Malaysian housewife, age 51, was arrested on May 9th in Puchong Selangor over her plans to, quote, launch attacks by using a car to hit non-Muslim voters at polling centers during the general election. The suspect in question also planned to hit non-Muslim worship places using a car carrying gas cylinders as explosives. And, you know, just even in the descriptions of some of these approaches, it comes out of a playbook.
Yes.
That terrorists have been utilizing
right around the world,
and you see that sort of emerging pattern. And I think really it does come down to the efforts of the authorities and of course all of the intelligence that they have on the ground in the region to nab these guys before it happens. And of course our police have a really decent track record on this, but it's a case of how do we sort of reconcile that. These are fellow Malaysians, right?
Yeah, they're fellow Malaysians. And also, here's the thing, right? We are in this moment, I guess, of euphoria about a change of government and all of these things that are taking place. But we need to remember that there are marginalized voices, right? Yeah. And I don't mean marginalized communities, but I mean these marginalized voices, these extremist elements, who will feel backed into a corner even further.
Yeah.
And much like, you know, much like an animal that's backed into the corner, it's going to lash out, right? And so I think, you know, these efforts need to be increased, actually, to look out for these factors and look out for these marginalized communities and actually see what can be done to nip this thing in the bud.
Yeah. Well, we're going to hear from Andrin Raj, the Southeast Asian Regional Director for the International Association for Counterterrorism and Security Professionals, the Center for Security Studies. Andrin, thank you very much for being with us on the program. And I guess from what was reported, four of the 15 that were arrested were specifically targeting non-Muslims. Some were targeting entertainment outlets and places of worship, with one having to actually firebomb these locations. Help us understand their motivations.
Well, we have to understand that the purportedly elusive jihad is deeply rooted in the Islamic doctrines. And it falls under the extra-denominational belief that a small percentile of Muslim followers are engaged and enshrined within these teachings. These come from the Sunni school of jurisprudence, and it's identified as the Hanafi, Shafi, Malaki, and Hanbali. Now, these relate to the Salafi and Takfiri concepts in the teachings of Islam. In these teachings, it tells that anyone who doesn't follow the first three generations of the Islamic faith are targeted to all extent in sense of religion and races. That means they need to follow the paths of the Salaf and the Takfir in order to be a devout and divine Muslim. So it's not so much of attacking Christianity or Buddhist temples, but it's the fact that the doctrines identifies that those who do not believe in the Salaf and the Takfiri concepts are against the teachings of Islam.
So why did they use these techniques, like using cars and Molotov cocktails specifically?
Well, it's an easy concept for any criminal mind to use because these are modus operandi which do not cost much to attain. Getting a kite, you can actually use your own car to do a lone wolf attack. Molotov cocktails can be made of so many kinds of chemicals, and it's easy to attain anywhere in the region, as well as in Malaysia for that matter. So the operations used by these small groups are easily available within any kinds of grocery shops in Malaysia.
And thinking about where these individuals are learning to do this?
Well, it's so easy. Practically, you go into the internet and you will learn how to make a Molotov cocktail. But learning from car ramming and stuff, it's basically from all the other precedents, which we call copycat situations.
What kind of responses and reactions would we see had these attacks been executed?
Reactions would have been definitely from the government, as well as the new government for that matter, in addressing the situation during polling time. And this could be a situation where chaos could have occurred within the country, and it could have gone badly wrong.
Now, the police and our anti-terrorism unit seem to be able to prevent the attack from happening at all. Is there still a cause for concern?
Yes, we do have a cause of concern in Malaysia. As of 2000, we have had more than 500 university students radicalized under the leadership of Dr. Azari Hussein. But the fact is, all these students have never been monitored or never been identified through any security agencies in Malaysia. Recently, the G25 came out with a research center in Malaysia stating that it is deriving and disseminating extremist views to students and government officials. And this is very scary. This is only one of the organizations that have been publicly shown to have been doing this by G25. But what about the rest of the religious schools which are unattended and non-monitored by the educational sectors, the takfir schools, which do not adhere to the Ministry of Education or any religious organizations for guidance?
Andre, final question. How do you think the new government will respond to these developments and terrorist attacks?
I think in recent press statements over the national news TV in Malaysia, we have seen that there are politicians coming out to address Islam in a moderation form. So the new administration needs to readdress all these religious schools, our de-radicalization programs, and anything that has any links towards extreme and radical views within the Malaysian society.
Andrin, thank you very much for your analysis. That was Andrin Raj, the Southeast Asia Regional Director for the International Association for Counterterrorism and Security Professionals, Center for Security Studies. Folks, stay tuned to the evening edition. We've got some music by David Bowie coming up right after these messages on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.